Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast this week. Over December and January, we're doing an exciting special edition podcast to celebrate Danette's first book, The Adaptable Leader. If you're on Spotify, you can see the cover of it right now. I'm holding it up. We are doing a special podcast where Danette's talking to people who have been adaptable leaders in various different spaces. There's some people you'll remember from the Magical Learning Podcast, and there'll be some new faces as well and some old friends. This is a really great podcast, and it was recorded before the book was actually finalized. So there's bits of the podcast in the book, but we highly recommend you go check out that book as well. We'll be back with regular Magical Learning podcasts in mid-January. But until then, this is an amazing little bonus podcast project we've set up for you. So as always, enjoy and have a magical week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Adapt podcast with Danette FM. This is a great companion podcast to the awesome book, The Adaptable Leader by Danette Fenton-Menzies. So who else would be here to join me on this very last episode of this season than Danette Fenton-Menzies? Danette, sad that it's the end of the season, but happy to have you here.
What a great season. I have learned so much during this podcast. You'll see in the book too that I've taken snippets out of the podcast to be able to share with readers. And this last one with Yash, amazing, great end to the series, to the season. Well, great end to the season.
Yes, beautiful. Now, this conversation, it's another, our first episode with Callum and this one at the end, both had the longest titles because I found it the hardest to condense. There's kind of a couple of different conversations. So this one is a sort of two different conversations, but they're both really about adapting into the future. One is about using AI and the other one is about using your own values to guide your business and life, which I think Yash really displays in a really beautiful way. Did you have any, before we get into the conversation, any thoughts on either of those two topics or just the conversation with Yash?
Yeah. So Yash is an extraordinary individual. Known Yash for a long time. Yash used to live across the road from us. He's run a business and sold a business out of the UK that was a global business. Came back to Australia. He retired, and he'll share this in the thing, played golf in a bit and then got bored. Did coaching and is a high performance coach and absolutely walks his talk. And now also is a founder of a venture capitalist firm that focuses specifically in the AI space, because Yash can see the opportunities there, and he's really good at, based on his business experience, which was in IT, really supporting those founders to create amazing organizations, amazing businesses. And what I love is he is totally values driven. So it's just such a great conversation. Hope the listeners really enjoyed this conversation.
Yes, well, I think Yash really explains a couple of things of how this has all made him more adaptable, being, you know, using values and sort of investing in some really interesting AI that he talks about. So I think without further ado, let's throw to the conversation, our last conversation with you and someone for this season. So listeners, enjoy.
So just for listeners that may not know you, Yash, I'd love for you to share just a little bit about your life journey before we get into adaptable leadership.
Yeah, that's it. No problem, Danette. And look, thanks for having me on. It's always great to have a chat. We have had many a chat over the years. So my name's Yash Varma. I've a bit of background around me. I've kind of grown up in Canberra. In fact, I was born in India. I grew up in Canberra, so I did all my primary school and high school here. And then I studied IT and business in Sydney at UTS. So in fact, we just recently had a 35-year anniversary of our course, which is IT and business. And it was a course that was, you know, sponsored by business. And so we worked and studied, and we sort of had that combination of working and studying. And so I got married pretty early on, early 20s, and then I ended up moving to London. So in London, on my honeymoon, started my first business. So I had a software business based in London and Scotland and Australia. And so I ended up spending the next 20 years commuting between Australia and the UK. And we had clients all over the world. And so, look, I had that software business. That was a big part of my life, and, you know, worked remotely with my business as well. So from the early 2000s, worked with companies and staff, you know, all over the world. and got to spend time with my family as well. So I kind of grew up with my kids, and that's been great to sort of have that. And so, look, that was an amazing business. We worked with people, you know, like I say, all over the world, in the UK, US, and elsewhere. And we had teams in the UK and even in, you know, Sri Lanka and India and Russia even. So it was a really interesting experience, and it taught me a lot just around, I guess, working in that way where you're not always physically in front of people, and the challenges and the opportunities in doing that. And I don't know if I'm giving you too much detail, but so I exited that business about 5 years ago. And so I spent my time living between Australia, London, and Switzerland. And I know we've met, before and after we've been away, and, you know, we've spent that time, I think I remember being out on your farm, actually, when we were thinking about going to Switzerland for the second time. And, we had a stint thereafter. I exited that business, and I was really passionate about our business. And our business was based, whilst being a technology company, about values. And it really taught me a lot around, growing an organization based on values rather than lots of rules. And actually, it felt like a great, great way to work as well. So I exited that business. I've always been passionate about learning. And so when I came back to Australia, I previously, worked with people like Tony Robbins and Brendan Burchard, and really saw the impact that coaching and learning and personal development had on my life. And, we've talked about those things and continually kind of looking at new ways to do things. And so I started a high performance coaching business, and that was really about helping founders and their teams, primarily with really dealing with the challenges of running a business. And so some of that is around the practical side of being more productive and communicating and getting your vision across, but equally aligned with purpose and, why do you do what you do, and align with the relationships that are important to you. And the third pillar of that is around health and going, how do I succeed above the norms in each one of those areas? And so I loved doing that. And that's still sort of doing that business as a high performance coach, but it also taught a lot about myself going through that process as a coach. I've been pretty passionate about investing in businesses. And so all the way along, whilst I had my business, we spent time and effort investing as an angel investor. And I saw the impact that coaching was having on the people that I was working with as founders and teams, and went, look, why am I just investing money and not really bringing that side to potentially what we could do? And so last year, I decided to launch a venture capital firm. And, we focus on investing in early stage AI companies, and, our focus, but is to bring, how do we help founders and their teams deal with the challenges of growing a business and bring that into the technology space.
Great intro, and such part of the reason, just for listeners, thing that I asked Yash to come on, because I've been part of that journey and just watched Yash continue to grow and learn. And also because, Yash, I suppose you're going into that, you're working with people in the AI space, which is going to be a massive disruptor for pretty much everything. So, I'm also curious about some of the insights you might have as we go along around adaptability and rather than resisting what's coming, how can people actually lean into that and really get the benefits of it as well?
Yeah, exactly. And look, when I talked about my first business, that was 97 when we went overseas to the UK in London. And a lot of the work I was doing then was around the internet, and the internet was relatively new in terms of what we were doing. And in fact, when I was in Australia before I went, I was working with people like Netscape and working UK and US hours from Australia in Canberra. And so we started to see we could work with teams all over the world. And then when I went to London, it opened up a whole world for us, really, and it changed our lives in terms of just being able to kind of use this new technology. And there was opportunities to really change the way we operated in so many different ways. And we've seen that play out. And if we fast forward to now, 20 plus years later, we're almost back at that point again. And, while the internet was one of those big platform shifts, we're now seeing that with AI. And so once again, you can either resist it and sort of, see that will have a big impact on your work and your life, or you can, embrace it. And so there's ways that, I think there are things that we need to do to really embrace that and learn. And that's what I'm really loving right now.
Love that answer. So let's start with some of the questions, and we might, well, we will definitely explore a bit more too. So what are some of the things, obviously, with your career journey, with everything going on, you know, you've got, is it four kids?
Three. Oh, four, right. Three and a puppy. Three and a puppy. So
three and a puppy. That's four.
Little puppy boodles, our fourth child.
So. I knew that dog was in there. So what are some of the things you've done that help you to adapt?
Yeah, great question. Look, I think for me, the number one thing was really learning, right? So for me, it's really embracing just being inquisitive. And so what I found is every time I really love learning about all different aspects. It's not just work. I really love learning about, you know, the physical side of things. I train a lot, and I really love, as I'm, getting older, learning that actually if you kind of move a particular way and you have these habits, it has a really, you don't necessarily have to get, your performance doesn't always have to go down dramatically. And so we're learning a lot about longevity, and that's through being learning. But one of the big things for me actually has been recently as well, has been really understanding, you know, how I want to live my life and what I do. And so I live my life by three words, and that's love, joy, and contribute. And so for me, that's really helped me nowadays to really go, as being a bit of a guide, to go, what do I want to do? And what are the kind of people I want to be around? What are the businesses we want to invest in? And can we have impact with what we're doing? And so I've realized that you know, wanting to do those things helps me to also adapt to changing circumstances. But I think the learning's a big part. And then there's another part that I think is being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And so I really embrace that sort of thought process. I get up and I exercise really early. I'm part of a sort of various cults in terms of, CrossFit and a lot of other things, but it is about moving, and it is about being an adult and putting yourself in a vulnerable position. And I think the older we get, the less we put ourselves in a position of failure or a position of doing something that's really hard. And I think when what I sort of learned is the more I do that, the more I do it. And so that comfortable with being uncomfortable has been a really a big thing for me to help to adapt, because there is always change. And I think the more you just sort of get in there and do these things. So it's not just work. It is about meeting new people. It is about getting out there. We do a lot of talking, a lot of I just really love that. And I keep learning and meeting great people. And probably that'll be the other part of adapting, is surrounding yourself with people that have that mindset, that want to learn, that want to support. And I think it's not just, I think for me, just being amongst people that try things is really exciting. And, you know, it doesn't always work, but being part of that and being, being amongst, friends and colleagues that really go and support you in that is really important.
Love that answer. And I love your three guiding principles too, because unless you know what's really important to you, it's really easy to get distracted and focusing on the wrong things. So,
yeah.
How did you come up with those three?
So I do that as part of, what I do with my coaching program. And so it's really around how, I kind of work in reverse, really. It's a little bit like if it was my funeral and people were talking about me. In reality, it's like, what do I want to stand for? And so for me, that's been really powerful. The other thing is so one thing I do with my coaching clients is I often have those three words. In fact, I have for a number of years, have those three words on my, apologies, my Alexa has just gone off. I have those three words on my phone, and it comes up in this alarm at 9 a.m. and it comes out in the evening. And so it just reminds me, because and Sabrina, my wife, often reminds me when I'm not being like that. She goes, are you being Lovejoy? And it sort of brings you back to going, am I behaving the way that I really want to? So for me, it's a very simple way to really bring myself back to what's important. And if you can sometimes step back and have a real thought process around what's important to you, you then, when it gets hard, you can come back to that. And I think the key point is, I'm not saying that you always behave that way, but I think it is important to realign yourself back to the way you want to be.
Love that. And thank you for sharing that process and also just the alarm thing. So for some of the listeners, they may not have thought about what's really important to them, but also, you know, what's a tactical thing you can do to remind yourself, and having an alarm that goes off and just checking in, where am I at? It's a great idea.
Yeah, and look, I think it's also, there's a bit of accountability with this. And I get teased for it sometimes, but what I do find is my kids see it, my wife sees it. And, you know, for example, so, you know, we're a venture capital firm. This is in our investor memorandum. It says this is part of. So I think when you're having a different discussion when you're talking about those values, you know, what's important to you. And, you know, what I find is, you know, people come towards you, the people that aligns with you and that come towards you and see that as a differentiator for really understanding yourself. And I think that to me has just been super powerful.
Yeah, and I can completely understand why. I love your words too, because it embodies you, which is beautiful.
Yeah, so and everyone else, that's what I find with coaching clients as well. Everyone has their three words. I think it's going through a process of discovery of what resonates with you and what gives you that feeling. And I think when you do, and then it's equally, you know, looking. So we do some things actually around, you know, a clarity around that and going, how do I know if I'm behaving that way? And so it's equally, you know, you're behaving that way when certain things are happening. And so I think it's just being conscious of all of that.
Yeah, nice. Thank you, Ash. Now, my next question is, how do you deal with failure?
Yeah, great question. And failure is an interesting one, isn't it? It's, you know, and I think, look, for me, you know, I said, doing something hard every day, I don't always succeed at those things. And so that puts me in that mindset to, one, put myself in a vulnerable position to do that. But I think the number one thing I've learned is really around even the word failure. I think there's no real failures. It's around learning. And so the more we go, instead of beating ourselves up, it's like, what do I learn out of the situation? And the more I'm around, you know, high performers and people that have done all that, look, failing's a big part of things. And if you're not failing, you're probably not trying hard enough. And so for me, that's been a really big thing to go, it's okay. It's okay to not always get to where you want to be. But it's like, what do I learn? And I think if you're kind of adapting to that, funnily enough, and I think it's learning and improving. And so for me, if we're not growing, you know, I have this concept, if we're not growing, we die. And so that continual growth, but it's like every failure teaches you something. And hopefully that can help you to get stronger in what you're doing, whether it be work or otherwise or a relationship. I think we just got to go, what do we learn and how do we keep adapting to that? But I do like the idea of, and I've introduced this recently with my son's soccer team, but it's around the 1%. So like, what, you know, if I do fail, it's also how you look at it. So you might not, let's take sport as an example, and there's some great examples of that where it can be binary, winning or losing or drawing or whatever, but I feel like it's how you define what success is as well. And you go, look, if we're improving, you know, and we continually do that, the results will show up, you know, in themselves. And so sometimes, you know, it takes some time and we don't always see those results straight away. But if we're getting better, you start to see those improvements show through. And it's that consistency of going, how can I optimize? How can I be that little bit better in whatever I'm doing? There's some great examples of like the British cycling team where they improved 1% and, you know, that came out for them to win more gold medals than ever before. And we see this a lot. So for me, that mindset is really important to deal with failure and really, you know, the word itself, I go, like I say, I embrace it. And I think that to me is I think really exciting to learn from something. So.
And Yash, what I loved was the coaching questions you were asking as you went through that whole thing. So you had some beautiful questions which help people stay more adaptable rather than shutting down if something's not working. So I love that you bring that from your coaching side as well, because it's so helpful.
Look, I think for me it's also we have this negativity around the word failure, and you're either, you know, a winner or a loser, and actually winners aren't always the people that win. You know, you can sometimes lose and win, and sometimes you can win and lose. And I also feel like if you understand your values and you you play and you do the things that work in the way that's with your values and integrity. And you might not get a deal, but that, you know, if in certain circumstances, but that comes back, and operating with those things are really, I feel, more important than the binary something happening or not. And I think that's I think in today's world as well, I think people more and more want to deal with people on that basis, that they have those values, that they align with something, not just that they get a sale or not just that they, you know, there's a transaction. And so I think, you know, it's understanding that. And so sometimes the winning and you know, or failing is not a failure.
Yeah, nice. That's a great answer. Thinking of the time where maybe you had a choice to adapt or not adapt, what would have happened if you hadn't have adapted?
Yeah, look, I think one of the things is, so when I exited my business, you know, we were living overseas, and we came back to Australia, and, you know, I had a pretty intense, you know, 20 years as well. And so my initial reaction was I was just going to do, you know, just take time off and not do anything for a while, and maybe not even work, or just do the things that I, you know, whatever I felt like doing. I felt for a while that was nice to have that option, and was great. But after a little while, you know, when you're not working and everyone else is going along with their lives, you're in quite a strange world. And so for me, I actually sat back and went, what is it that I'm passionate about? What is it that drives me? I don't want to just do nothing. I want to go and be challenged. And that's where, you know, the, like I said, those three words came out and about contribution, about, you know, bringing joy and really having great relationships around not just work, but family and just everything, you know. And so for me, I think if I didn't adapt and I didn't change, and that's been the same case as when we went overseas, if I didn't, you know, try these things, I think I'd be pretty static. And, you know, Sabrina and I met, I've been married for like 26 years. We were together 9 years before that. And so we met in high school. And I think our whole time has been adapting. So, you know, Sabrina's had her own career doing lots of great things. You know, we've got three kids and we've both traveled a lot individually and collectively. And so we just learned to adapt, but we've learned to support. And I think for me that's there's an element of novelty that we have realized that we want in our life. And just because we've been together for a long time, and I know, you know, Graham and yourself are the same, but it's, I think we just got to keep thinking of what's that thing that happens that stops you doing things. So we dance and we go out and we do lots of things. And I mean, I have that question, when did this thing change that you stopped doing something? And so I think, you know, you can do things differently. I'm not saying it, but if you enjoy certain things, we're told generally you should stop. You know, this is what we do. And I think that's really up to us to challenge that. And age and what you mentally and physically do is really up to you. As long as you kind of think about it. Yeah. I don't know if that answered that.
No, that's a great answer. I love it. So my next question is, what advice would you give yourself, your 25-year-old self, in relation to being an adaptable leader?
I think probably be kind to yourself. I think when I was probably at 25, so I had, you know, moved to London, I'd started a business, we had, you know, working quite a lot. I thought I should know everything, and I thought I was running the show, so I should be, you know, aware of, you know, you need to know everything and be able to do everything. And then as I got older and as I progressed, what I learned was really that if I could learn or I could bring good people around me, then, you know, I don't need to know everything. I need to just bring good people around me. And actually, if I hire people smarter than me, that's even better. And so that's what I learned. But I think be kind, and be yourself. You know, that was one thing when I look backwards, you know, all of the things that happened to me with my business and my life have been about being me. And so I think at first I thought I had to be a particular way, you know, that conformed with just the way everyone does things. And what I realized is once you own your own the way you are, people accept you and actually trust you as being yourself. And I think that's a really powerful thing, that we often feel like we should be this perfect person. But I think actually in reality, if you are yourself and you're genuine with people, people want to deal with people. And so I've worked in these large corporate environments in the middle of Wall Street, in the middle of the city of London, walk into these big boardrooms. And I'm used to working remotely, 20 years ago, and seeing these very formal settings. But I've always been a people person, and I've always felt like building genuine relationships. And I found even in those kind of really corporate environments, if you're a decent person and you act with integrity, people really value that. And so, we had clients for 20 years when we sold our business. And I feel that, that was a big part of what we did, was around those relationships and doing the right things. So, yeah. And maybe just the last thing is, there's no rush. I think no matter what your age is, there's opportunities. And I think I met a lot of people and they feel like they should be further ahead than where they are. And, the way we're living longer. And I also feel like I don't want to retire now. That's what I've realized. I don't want to retire. I just want to do things with people that I want to. I want to be challenged. And so I also go, we have plenty of time. And particularly when you're doing things that you like doing, we don't need to be at a particular place no matter what your age. And we see lots of people who started working, starting businesses, starting whatever new careers at, 40, 50, 60. Colonel Sanders, I don't know how old Colonel Sanders was, but he was pretty old when he started his, and we're seeing that time and time again. And so I think, conversely, you can be very young and start something as well, right? So there's no limits. It's what we, it's what you, how you learn and what you want to do with that. So that's another big part, is just enjoy that journey. And it's a cliche, but I realize that more and more now. And as a, as a venture capital firm, we want to enjoy that journey with the companies. We don't just fund, but we support them. We go, how do we succeed all together? And so for me, that's a big part of it. It's not just the end goal, it's how do we get to that point.
I love that bit about collaborating with people as well, that whole working those relationships as we all get better, rather than it's one of us has to win, one of us has to lose. So I love that intentionality as well.
Yeah, and I think that's why I say, if you work backwards from what something you view is as success, it's not actually the end goal. It's bringing everyone along with you. I think it's a bit of a hollow success if you get to the end and you don't have your health, everyone hates you, but you might have lots of money. I think that's not really success. And so for me, it's really being conscious of all of these parts of our lives and work and our personal lives as well. And so for me, that's why it's really important to have that sort of thought process, not just about one dimension. And I think when you do that, you can succeed on those sort of multi levels. And I see you with all the kids doing things. It's really exciting seeing that happen. But equally, when your clients and I feel like it's really exciting. It's really invigorating. And when you say that, it's a really nice way to sort of see other people succeed as well.
Nice, that's a gorgeous answer. So any other bits of advice you'd like to share or insights for the listeners?
I think the thing I'm passionate about is technology and using technology to improve our lives. And so I think the one thing I would say is, we are at a unique point again in the technology cycle. And so we have these exponential technologies. And so that is sort of a little bit scary as much as an opportunity. And so what we're seeing is really AI is augmenting or changing the way we work in almost every aspect. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners will be using some of the tools, but we're at a very, very still early stage. And so we're seeing this in almost every sort of every area as well. So it's not just, using ChatGPT or anything like that. We're seeing this in medicine. We're seeing this in education. We're going to see this in government. I'm seeing that a lot of discussion around those things. But the thing is, how do we deal with this change? And so, to our point, we've already discussed around learning. I think we need to think exponentially. And I think there's a really great sort of thing going on here where with a small number of people, you can do, you know, you can create some amazing solutions. You can create amazing businesses. And so we see the opportunity of being, you know, being able to develop, you know, billion-dollar companies with less than 10 people. And, you know, these technologies are exponential and highly scalable. And so I think this is what's exciting. I think if we combine this as well with things like other technologies around genomics or around solar or around just robotics, there's just going to be new ways in the way we live. So I think it's going to be even more important for us to really think about what's important to us as individuals and as humans and around the kind of relationships we want to have. And so I think it's really around discovering, you know, what floats your boat and then go towards that. So we talk about learning, but I think it's really around experimentation, trying things, being not afraid to fail. So it's a lot of what we've talked about, but I think in today's context, these are exciting times. And like I say, I've seen this before when the internet came about. This had a big step change and it gave new opportunities for people. So I think for a lot of people, what I'm seeing is a lot of founders who may be actually older, a little bit older, because you picture the founder of a startup as being a sort of 18-year-old or 19-year-old, and we do see that. But we're also seeing a lot of people who are probably in their, you know, late 30s, 40s, 50s, coming back and saying, hey, I can see this opportunity. I can see, and getting back in the game because they've maybe got more time. And so I feel like, you know, to embrace this, it's really about trying those things. And so I would say, yeah, it's a really exciting time. And I think to go towards it, I think learn, surround yourself with good people and be part of communities where this is happening. And I think there's some really amazing things that are ahead of us. I think there's also some negative things that are ahead of us. But I think it's like if we think about all those things, we can also counterbalance those things. And, you know, we could argue some of those things with social media and all these other things that are there that people, but it's about you controlling the technology, you understanding how you want to use it and how it can empower your life rather than it being the other way around. But yeah, that's probably the main thing that I see that I'm excited about, but I'm also excited for everyone. And I think there's a lot of confusion. I think there's a lot of change happening, but I think if we can learn to adapt and really continue that growth, I think there's really great times ahead.
Nice, great answer. Yeah, I'm very excited about the future and just learning. As you said, it's just such an important part of a rich life. It's one of my three words: is that learning growth.
Yeah, excellent. And I think that's what's exciting. I think. To get up every day and go, not know, you know, I think it's also where we're at is we don't know. Even, you know, a lot of the experts I'm dealing with don't know where we're going. And I think it's being, like I say, being comfortable with that as you know, and that's what we've got to start to think about is just going, okay, let's learn how we can, and the word adapt, so it's a great name for your podcast, but learning to adapt with that is critical. And being comfortable with not knowing it's all there, but realizing there's opportunities when you take that step out there. It's a little bit scary. And, you know, that's why I say being comfortable with uncomfortable. It's a little bit, I think that scariness is what I like as well. So one of the things that I've learned as well is the butterfly effect, right? So when we're kids, we kind of do these things where we jump off things and you get the butterflies. And I think as you become adults, you get told, actually, that feeling is something I don't want to have, like, because that's a little bit scary. And if you watch kids, they keep doing this thing, going, oh, wow, and as adults, we start to avoid that. And I feel like with all these unknowns or trying something where you don't know it's going to happen, I think you get that feeling again. And so I think even learning is a little bit like that, where it's like, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know this is going to go in my work or in my health or whatever it is. And I feel like when you do that, I don't know, it's that feeling is sort of exciting. So I think it's feeling that's a good thing, not a bad thing. But, you know, I think that's the thing, is we've got to almost reframe our mind to go, what you think is a bad feeling is sometimes a good feeling. And how I think actually what's worse is not feeling anything. And so I think being excited and scared are all good emotions, and being sad is also good. But I think when there's not a feeling and you're going through the sort of routine and there's nothing there, I feel that's what scares me more than the other ways of living. So, yeah.
Totally agree. And I always think when people aren't feeling those things, they don't have that aliveness around them. So the butterflies are actually about feeling alive and being present and going, oh, I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's that leap of faith. And I think that leap of faith is something that I think the more, you know, and that's why it's great what you do. And you know, I think taking people along that journey and doing that yourself and being congruent with that. I mean, you know, I don't always, I'm an extrovert, but I don't necessarily like talking like necessarily in a lot of these formats, I think. But what I realize is being able to share your experience, share some of what you've learned, and doing the same thing. I'm consuming so much more information this way now. And what I realize is being part of that is great. But it's sometimes uncomfortable, you know, like I don't necessarily want to do that, but I think that that's what's great is to sort of do that more and more. You realize that there's great things that come off the back of that and you meet great people. And you know, I learn that way and hopefully I can help other people to learn that way as well.
Nice. And I think too, you know, just even this discussion this morning, there'll be listeners who you've now given hope to who before might have seen things like AI and just gone, they're in overwhelm versus, okay, there's opportunities there.
Yeah, and I think with that particular topic is to really look at it is to go, this is ahead of us. There's definitely, you know, there's headwinds here. Now, the timelines of how that may impact your work or your life, look, that's going to be variable, but I think embracing it and looking how you can be more productive, how you can have it, this can improve your life. I think there's many great things that can happen. And I think if you can focus on that and trying to learn from people, I think there's some real opportunities. And I think that's the thing is often when more and more countries adapt and use these technologies, there's actually more employment. So I think there's seen some things recently where I say with some of the more economies that use a lot more of these technologies or robotics or so I think it might have been Sweden or there's a few countries where it's really been the higher levels of use. Actually, there's higher employment in those countries than unemployment. So there's this perception that this will change, you know, that we're all going to be out of jobs and that AI is going to take over everything. I would argue that it's actually just going to, you know, augment a lot of what we do. And there's going to be different jobs. And there's some great books around this. There's some really great, you know, sort of books around, well, there's books that talk about this positively and negatively. And so, you know, I don't know if you've seen this, the Netflix show Black Mirror, which Black Mirror really, you know, it's a technology show about a futuristic show. It's been around for a little while. And look, some of those things are possible. And I think there's things here that we go, if we understand the negative side of technology, we can then counterbalance that with solutions to deal with that. But I also like to think of a concept I heard recently, which is white mirror, which is rather than having the negative, what are the good things that can come out of these technologies? And so, you know, I've seen some things recently where, look, on the education side, everyone will be able to have their own personal tutors. You know, we'll have our own personal lawyers. We'll have our own personal assistants. And I think we'll be able to train that off our own data and own that our own data. So it doesn't necessarily, you know, some of those privacy things that are there. There'll be models of that, ways that this can work to really help us to kind of deal with our, you know, the challenges that we have. But we'll be more productive as a society and we'll be able to do more and more things. And I think if we have that mindset around how do I get on board rather than how is this taking away from what I'm doing, then I think that's where the opportunity is, and that's where we'll keep growing. So I think this is the thing, we've got to keep learning. I think the days of, you know, going and studying once and having one job and that's all you do for life, those days are over. And so that's why I think it's really important, the discussion you're having around adaptability means, you know, I think our kids will have five different professions. And, you know, if we look at some of the jobs that used to exist that don't exist, and some of the new jobs that exist that didn't exist, would have been strange to talk to someone before. But if you talk to, you know, someone before around a, you know, petrol pump attendant or a, I don't know, there's so many jobs now that don't exist and there's so many jobs that do exist now that wouldn't have been a thing before. And so I see this just continuing on. And so for everyone, there's opportunities in that.
And you mentioned books and, you know, I love books. So one or two recommendations that people who just want to learn a little bit more, maybe that you enjoyed reading?
Yeah, let me have a think. So on the technology side, in fact, there's a great book that's just come out now, which so there's a guy called Peter Diamandis, and Peter Diamandis, I don't know how familiar, but you know, he founded a thing called XPRIZE, Singularity University. So his organization have just released a book, in fact, 6th of June it would have been, so a week ago in terms of where we're at, about exponential organizations. And I really, you know, like what the discussion is there, is to say, look, the future of where we're going is really exponential organizations. And we have examples of that. So companies like Tesla or Uber and so the idea is to use a lot of these exponential technologies, have ways of having, you know, not necessarily, you know, workplaces that are far more adaptable using the technologies. But it talks about the mindset and around how we experiment, how we can sort of have a flexible workplace. All of these sorts of things, we can achieve so much more with smaller numbers of people. So that's one book that I definitely recommend. Specifically around AI, there's a book that's probably a good one, which is lots of futuristic stories. I think by an author, Kai-Fung Lee, I think it's AI 2041. And so it's talking about the year 2041 and around, you know, just some different stories that could come out through the use of this technology. And like I say, this is positive or negative as well, but it is around you, just the sort of thought process around that. On other fronts, I'm just trying to think of some of the books that we have so many different, I'm reading so many different things that I'm always trying to learn. I mean, I really like, you know, I don't know if you know Lewis Howes, who has a podcast, The Greatness Mindset. So he's just had, I think, his third book, which is called The Greatness Mindset, which is a great book. I'm big on longevity as well. So I really love to think about how, as we get older, we can adapt and learn. And I think if you can stay healthy, both physically and mentally, and that's all about habits, and equally around diet and supplementation. So there's a book recently that I've read called Forever Young. That was great. That's by an author, the guy's name, let me just get Mark Hyman, I think. Yes. So that's another great book. Just going to look through quickly what I have. Another one is The Rise of Superman. That's one that's been around for a little while. I don't know if you read that. That's really around high performance. And it talks a lot about really the mindset, and actually talks a lot about people that do extreme sports and go, how do they get into the right state of mind? Because when we're talking about jumping out with one of those wingsuits or off, it's a life or death thing, and saying, well, what do these people do to get themselves into a state of flow? And so I really love that. There's another really interesting one right now that might be good for adaptability as well, which is called Build for Tomorrow. And this is really about discussing how technology has changed over time and how what we're seeing right now is very, it's happened before, and people have had, so it might have been, so that's by a guy called Jason Pfeiffer. And so I think he worked with Fortune magazine. So he started, you know, kind of was built that up and talks a little bit about. But he, you know, he talks about things from when, you know, when records first came about, and how people were saying this is going to, you know, change, you know, our babies are going to become these machine babies because they're not going to hear their parents sing anymore, and you know, all these sorts of things, and sort of give some really good examples of how that's, you know, changed over time. There's a whole heap more I could keep going. There's another one called The Age of AI. That's another great one, but that's by Henry Kissinger, Eric Schmidt from Google. That's another great one. On the coaching side, there's one thing from a technology point of view that I found quite interesting as well. It's a book called The Trillion Dollar Coach. And I don't know if you've read that book yet.
I haven't read that one yet, but I
will. So one thing that I didn't realize was that, you know, Google, Apple, and Microsoft, we're all being coached, the founders were all being coached by one particular coach at the same time. And so we always think of these companies as, you know, that the founders were just great founders, and they you know, had things around them. But you know, that this whole concept around coaching and not necessarily around technology is something that's at the center of all of those companies. And most people don't always realize that. So Trillion Dollar Coach is great. The Everyday Hero Manifesto, I know you would probably know the Robin Sharma one there. I told you about AI 2041. Competing in the Age of AI is another one. That's by a guy called Marco Lanzetti and Karim Lakhani. That's a really interesting book. So there's, look, I think there's a lot of really interesting things that are happening in this space. I think there's a lot to change. And I think the whole thing here is really just about understanding this change. It could go lots of different ways, but I think just embracing it and seeing that there's new sort of ways that we could go and understanding where you want to play. And so I'm seeing, you know, some people that want to, you know, are talking about AI and ethical AI and going, well, look, I want this to work. There are things here that, you know, how we train data and if there's bias in that. And so people that are, there's going to be industries around this. There's going to be industries around explaining how these models work, explaining what's happening. So I think this is one of the things that's happening. In fact, we have a video coming out shortly around this exact topic around regulation and around, you know, how we have this technology is going to be so powerful, but we need to be able to explain it. And we need to probably have it regulated in particular ways, like we do nuclear energy or and so I think there's going to be all these new, you know, industries. Actually, one last book I would just say is an author that I really like as well. So a guy by the name of Azim Azar, and he's written a book called Exponential. So for me, exponential is really where we're at right now, in the sense that we've been growing in this linear way for a long time, which is sort of like this, and we're about to go like that, you know, it's a big curve that way. And so we're probably at the sort of bottom corner of going up in another big cycle, and we've never seen anything like this before. And so I'm hopeful for humanity that we can go forward in a really great way and use these technologies. And we're investing in companies now that actually for example, we're invested in a company called Airseed. They plant trees with drones. They can use computer vision. They have these biologists that have developed these pods, special pods that have all these sort of seed and microbiome. And what they can do is they can plant like 40,000 trees in a day with one of their drones. And so they can understand where that needs to go. And it has a higher success rate than just throwing seeds You know, they've got these massive projects that they're able to kind of go and deploy this at scale. And so I'm really hopeful that we can use, you know, technology for good as well, and use AI for good and for purpose. And so I think it's up to all of us to do that and you know, either build those companies, work for those companies, help support those companies. And so that's the way I look at it. I think that's a really big part of where we're going.
Nice. Love that. And what a great company. Oh,
it's yeah, great team, great company, yeah. And I love it. So that's another big part of probably something I didn't mention today, was really around purpose. And I think when you have companies and people are aligned around purpose, you play a very different game, and it's a different business, and people are attracted to kind of want to work there and do all these things. So it's really exciting when you're part of something like that.
Totally agree. Just making sure my mic was on. Now, Yash, I am conscious of time because I know you're going to Sydney shortly. Yep. If people would like to reach out and learn more about what you do, where could they find that?
Yeah, great. Well, look, on the coaching side, I have a coaching business called High Performance Life. So highperformancelife.com.au. And then look, on the venture capital side, our firm's called Empress Capital. And so it's empresscapital.vc, empresscapital.vc. And look, we're always looking to talk to great founders. We've got a great bunch of, you know, we'd love to kind of talk to great founders and investors as well. We're still raising up a part of our fund, but it's really around getting good people involved and seeing how we can use this technology to drive humanity forward. And so I really have enjoyed talking with you today. And yeah, that'd be great. I'm really happy to talk to people. It'd be great to connect with, you know, people in your audience and talk further around, you know, what we're doing. So
no, thank you so much, Yash, for being on. Really, really enjoyed our conversation.
Mm-hmm. And what an awesome conversation to finish this season off with. Obviously, lots of these great insights and stuff can be found in your book as well. But Danette, any sort of thoughts you had or takeaways from the conversation with Yash?
Yeah, so Yash continues to be someone that I admire, love hanging out when I get a chance. He and his wife have been married since they were quite young, and so they've adapted throughout their marriage to both of them having great, amazing careers. And I love his point about values and how it's not always perfect on those values, but it's a great reset to come back and go, how am I going against what I've said is really important for me? And one thing, if you're not sure about what your values could be or what they are, we do have a value sheet that is free downloadable on the Danette FM website that can help you sort of explore what those values for you are. So what is really important for you? So I encourage you to download that if you're not sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So the link is in the podcast description. Yes. Go click on that one. I also just wanted to say one takeaway I liked was that Yash had a butterfly effect, and it was different than the usual one where one minor action creates big actions later on. This was just, if you're not feeling butterflies, you may not be, you know, in your stomach when you're doing stuff very regularly. Maybe it's time to start feeling that. It's not necessarily a negative thing. So I loved that from Yash. Yep. Anyway, let's jump into our final listener question of the season, Danette. And this one is from Rinkesh. And Rinkesh asks, how do I decide what values I want to have when starting a business, especially because I also need to make money and sort of take what I can get? So that's, obviously a common problem. You've started a business, Danette, so tell us about how you've done this. Yeah.
So I think knowing your values, so taking the time, Rinkesh, to explore what those values are, and don't make it what you think it should be. Make it what's actually important to you. So for me, lifelong learning and growth is a massive value. And underpinning that is that when I learn and grow, I can support others to learn and grow and reach for their dreams. So that allows me, no matter what's going on in the business, to be able to get up every day and know why I'm turning up. And, you know, even if it's not a great time from a financial perspective, and, you know, in the book we shared that we lost 90% of our income overnight because a business partner went belly up. And in that, that's terrifying. But then coming back to your business, your values, the business values, and going, okay, why do we exist? And if it's just to make money, when hard times happen, you're going to struggle. So actually go to, well, what's the impact I'm trying to have? You know, who else is going to benefit from this? You know, and I work with a lot of multi-generational family-run businesses, and they're big global businesses. And where those values are really clear, people tend to work way better than when it's, oh, well, we've made lots of money, because more money creates more friction rather than reduces that issue. So I think being really clear on your values and taking the time to think about your purpose as well can really help you be more authentic. And as you bring team members into your business, they understand why the business is so important and what you're trying to achieve. So they can support you to achieve that as well. Hope that helps.
I think so. What a great insight there, Danette. Well, it's sad that it's the end of the season, but what a great season it's been. So many good conversations, so many great insights. Of course, all spurned around your book, which is amazing. We want to encourage people to go check that out now, which is The Adaptable Leader. Obviously, the links will be available in the podcast description, so you can go check it out, as well as the Danette FM website with a lot of free resources. Danette, any sort of last thoughts, not only on today's conversation, but I guess on the whole season and maybe on the book as well?
Yeah. So, yeah, I wrote the book because I see leaders struggling to be more adaptable. I see them heading towards burnout and things like that. So my accepts model, and that basically is, we need to be authentic, we need to be curious, we need to collaborate, we need to experiment, we need to problem solve, we need to trust ourselves and others, and we need to be sustainable. So I built chapters on how do you build all of those skills from that model. And the conversations that I had throughout this season on the podcast really helped enrich what was in my book. And so, you know, if you're struggling to adapt, please reach out. You know, we're here to help. And I can't wait for next season of the Adapt with Danette FM because Jez and I are going to learn a heap of new stuff. So thank you, everyone, readers and listeners, for taking the time to join us. And we're so, so grateful. Thank you, Jez, too, for making all this happen.
No problem, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in for next season as well. When that comes out, we'll let you know. But until next time, have a magical week.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Jez.